as I said, it just you go into the Menards and the hardware stores and places like that in July, and they move the lawnmowers out and move in snow blowers and Christmas trees. It's kind of hard for it to sneak up, but I'm just gonna be honest this morning. I'm a little concerned about my Christmas message, and sometimes I was just asking Brother Seidel. I said, "You ever just put it together, have a message, and you're not really sure?" He's like, "Yeah, yeah." Most of the messages we put together, probably we feel that way, but I'm just going to throw it out there this morning. I don't like shopping at Christmas time, okay? And this is going to be probably more from a man's perspective, perhaps, but I'm just going to be honest here. I don't like Christmas shopping, okay? I don't even like going to stores at this time of the year. The other day, I had to go to Menards, and I'm talking to my wife, and she's like, "Well, what time are you going to go?" I said, "Either really early, right after they open, because that's just kind of how Menards works, or I'm going to go like 10 minutes before they close. Because all that time in between, I hate having to deal when you're going in there and you want to pick up some plywood, some 2x4s, some glue, and all of this stuff for your project, and there's all these people in there looking for all of these deals." Well, listen, I don't give away 2x4s and plywood for Christmas presents, but I would love it if I got a pile of 2x4s and a pile of plywood for Christmas, because that's a Christmas present you can do something with, okay? Now, that's just me talking, all right? So I guess a hint for next year, the gift cards to Chili's are fine, but gift cards to Menards work too. So just throwing that out there, you know. I don't like going to the mall. I drove by the mall the other day, and there's police cars all over the place. Way out, like where all the people are fighting, and they're spreading Christmas cheers. They're trying to get through a light that's been red, green, red, green, red, green for 20, 30 minutes, and they're still trying to get through that same intersection. And like I said, they're spreading all that Christmas cheer around, and Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas and all of this stuff and all the gestures. I don't like being around the mall. Walmart, absolutely not. Okay, I will not go anywhere near a Walmart during any holiday. And I remember one of the last times I went to the mall Christmas shopping, I called up. I thought, I'm going to go and I'm going to take some support with me. So I call up my old buddy, Ricky Wells, and I said, "Hey, you want to go do some Christmas shopping?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, let's brave the mall. So here we go, a couple rednecks, I guess, trying to go to the mall and Christmas shop. And we went into a store, and, you know, we're trying to buy our wives a gift. And it's like, it's good luck. It's a greater miracle finding. Now, this is just my viewpoint, okay? It can be a greater miracle trying to find that perfect gift for your wife than Mary having baby Jesus, okay? We struggled trying to find that gift, and we were in a store where we thought we could find that perfect gift, and the lady came up to us and said, "I'm going to have to ask you, gentlemen, would you please leave?" So we got booted out, but that didn't deter us. I'm not a tightwad, okay? I'm really not. I love to give gifts. It's just my, you know, they talk about love languages, okay? And it's like, well, what's your love language? That's kind of you got to be careful when you ask that to a guy. What's your love language? Well, what do you mean by what's my love language? Well, look out. So. If I had to say I had a love language, it would be inviting you over, saying, let's eat some dead meat, let's cook it up on some charcoal, throw some spices on it, have some potatoes, throw them on the grill. Have you ever had grilled, twice-baked, smoked grilled potatoes? Are awesome on a grill. They're Carl Rabine. They're delicious. Try it out. And you'll never go back to old potato. You're always going to have. So my love language and is just an evening filled with fellowship around the dinner table, cooking a nice meal. And I'm up here a lot, and I usually always talk about food when I'm up here. And today is no exception. But you see, we fight over the true meaning of Christmas. Some people claim that there's a war going on over Christmas. Now, I think there's a war going on perhaps at the mall on the eve of a Black Friday or the morning of or whenever that day starts. And so they talk about this war going on about Christmas, war fighting over the true meaning of Christmas. And even among Christians, we can lose sight of the true meaning of Christmas. Now, we don't intend to. We don't intend to get caught up in all of the ads in the paper and get caught up in all the Christmas lights and all of this stuff. But I've seen families go deep into debt, just to keep up with Christmas. And it's supposed to be a happy time of year. It's supposed to be a relaxed time of year. It's supposed to be a time of year where all the family gets together, and yet the fighting continues. Boy, we got a political mess, a circus going on in our world, our country right now, in Washington, and we look here in our own state. We look at the battle going on down at the Capitol a month or so ago over our war on Christmas. They're going to rename the Christmas tree from a Christmas tree to a holiday tree. And we get all worked up about it. I remember when Christmas trees were a sin. I do. We had evangelists come through and preach that Christmas trees were a sign of Satan. Every ornament was represented a demon. I see we don't have any demons in here anyway. But I love Christmas trees. You know what? In our house, my wife and I, we do Christmas easy. I buy Christmas trees that have all the decorations on them already. You can shake them and they won't come off. And at the end of every season, we just turn the lights off. And they sit there because our house is surrounded. We have over 250 pine trees that surround my house. So I'm like, what if we have four more inside? What difference does that make? They're hard to dust, but it's easy. You just take them outside, tip them upside down, shake them a little bit, and then they're ready to go another season. So we just, it's Christmas all year long at our house. Last year I changed them and put them from one corner into another corner. And that's where they sat. But I remember when Christmas trees, man, I got to tell this story. I just have to. When we got married, we were really poor. And we couldn't afford a Christmas tree. So my wife's parents live out in Black Earth, they've since moved into town, but they lived out in Black Earth on the farm. They still have the family farm. And they have cedar trees all over the place. And I thought, a cedar tree, that's close enough to a Christmas tree. I'm sure somewhere they cut cedar trees down for Christmas. So I cut that tree down, bring it home, and it was pathetically ugly. It looked much greener out in the wilderness than it did in the basement. But we cut this tree, but we didn't have any ornaments. But you know, sometimes when you pray, even if it's a simple prayer, and as somewhat frivolous, God will provide. And I said, Lord, we don't have any ornaments for this tree. And lo and behold, an evangelist came through and he preached that Christmas trees were of the devil and that ornaments were demons. And we had two girls in our church that lived next door. My wife had a roommate. Actually, we weren't I don't remember the timeline exactly on this. Were we married? Okay. So they came through, but one of the couples, they felt that they needed to throw all their Christmas ornaments out. They needed to rid their home of all of these bad spirits. So they threw all the lights out. They threw all the Christmas ornaments out. And I come driving by not long after praying this prayer, and I'm like, Lord, you provided. There's a trash bag full of Christmas ornaments right out at the curb, and it's just around the corner from our door. So we took those ornaments, and we snagged them up, and we decorated our tree, and they were beautiful. And we had those for years. That was not too many years ago. Last year? But anyway, somewhere along the line, it was actually, it's a joke that we have with John and Terry Seidel. We were heathens. They were trying to follow the word. And we gave all those heirloom ornaments back. Sister Seidel came up to me all sheepish and says, do you still have all those heirloom? You know, those were my grandma's. And my folks are coming over for Christmas, and if we don't have those ornaments on that tree, it's going to be a bad Christmas. So I said, don't worry about them. They're safe. All the demons are gone. But you see, we fight. So this holiday tree at the Capitol, we get mad because, as Christians, that, well, they're not calling it a Christmas tree anymore. When it used to be a sin, but now it's okay. So now we're going to pick up the battle because they're not going to call it a Christmas tree. They're going to call it a holiday tree. And I went and looked up, Brother Thompson. I don't know how many people know the origin of the word holiday. It means holy day or holy days. And I thought, when people see you, that little bouncy gal at the checkout counter, when you work your way through after standing there for an hour and you're not wanting to be there in the first place, and she says, well, happy holidays, and you're like, it's Christmas, it's Merry Christmas, and we're trying to spread some Jesus cheer because it's Christmas time, and you said happy holiday. Little do you realize that she's saying happy holy day. Happy Holy Day, and Merry Xmas. Where does that come in at? I thought of that. I thought, and I looked up Merry Xmas, because I'm like, where does that come in? I remember I wrote that down once. I was making a Christmas card for somebody, and my dad scolded me. He said, son, I remember that movement about taking Christ out of Christmas. They even had a song about it. Some quartet sang, let's keep Christ in Christmas and all of this stuff. And I looked up what Xmas means. It actually, it goes all the way back. And it talks about Christians, early Christians. It was part of the CHI, I believe, I'm not an expert on languages, but it meant that you were a follower of Christ. And a lot of the early Christians would put an X label, and that would label them as a Christian. So I begin to think about all of this fighting going on about the holiday tree and the Christmas tree and stuff, and many of us have really strong opinions on some of this stuff, and so much of this stuff, it just doesn't matter. And if we're not careful, we can become, and this is the title of my message this morning, we can become the casualty of Christmas. You see, many Christians feel that episodes like here in Wisconsin, are examples of political correctness that's just gone amok, and further evidence that God is being pushed out of our mainstream culture. And we take this battle with words, or this battle over words at Christmas, and we allow ourselves to become wounded and a casualty of this holiday. We take it all so personable, like we're being condemned at times, perhaps because of our beliefs, or we're being persecuted for our faith, and we fight our way through the mobs, and we buy that one thing that we hope that our loved one wants, and our attitude becomes poor because we're waiting in line and we're grumbling, and all of these things are pouring in around us. And we see all of these signs, and Merry Xmas, and Happy Holidays, and then they want to take the nativity out of the town square. I remember when I used to work in Wanakee, they had a big, huge battle with freedom from religion. Man, people hated Annie Gaylor because of this. They put a big sign up. They leased a portion of the park to a business, so the business put it up, a way to get around the law, and we get all upset over this. Begin to think about this. I guarantee you that almost 100% of us in this building right here today have more of this in our home than we do of a nativity. I'm not here to all of a sudden just like take this message and all of a sudden it's like, ooh, uh-oh. It went from funny to now he's stepping on our toes. But you see, it's not about all of this stuff. It's not really even about how big or little or detailed or ornament our nativity scene or ornate our nativity scene may be. It's about Jesus Christ. We get upset. Can't help but wonder how much attention that gets devoted in our own homes to secular holiday trappings. We get angry. I look here at Calvary Gospel Church and I got in a discussion. It wasn't a bad discussion, so don't walk away thinking. And someone asked, how come we don't have any crosses in our building? I kind of look around and I think we got one right up here. Yeah, right here we have one. And I referenced this one, but you know, begin to think about it. You walk through this building, and there's nothing in this building that tells you you're in an apostolic church. Now, I can go into Catholic churches. I went into a Greek Orthodox church, and I mean, I knew everywhere because it was everywhere. I begin to think about this. You go through our... Someone had complained about our child care center not having any religious signs or anything. And I thought, we don't have much in the whole. There's nothing in the vestibule. We have our missions wall. But is it about the decor of the building, or is it about what people feel when they come in to the building? You see, when we look at this, I don't know about you, but I don't feel personally that it's our governor's job to teach people about the meaning of Christmas. That's just me talking. I don't think it's our school's job to teach our children about holiday trees and all of this kind of stuff. I think that needs to come from the church. I think they need to come and say to a Sunday school teacher, what does this mean or what does that mean? And I just want you to understand something, that is it really the world's job? Is it Washington's job and downtown Madison's job to represent Jesus Christ to the world? Then we need to stop bellyaching about what they're calling the Christmas tree. See, I understand that for many that removal of a religious symbol in the public square, it can be offensive to us. But I can assure you that even in places where this has happened or is happening, Christmas is not being canceled. We're not going to cancel Christmas because of the fight over the tree. We still have an incredible opportunity as Christians to share the love of Jesus Christ and the message of what Christmas is all about. You see, God can use anyone for his purpose. We just spoke a week or two ago about Matthew 28:19. We talked about this passage. And here, Jesus, he's specifically calling his followers, his disciples, to reach the world. He wasn't calling on the king. He wasn't calling on Agrippa. He wasn't calling to Festus. He wasn't calling to the governors of his day. It's not our governor's responsibility. It's the church's responsibility. And the simple fact is that we must understand the world doesn't look to Jesus for the celebration of Christmas like it used to look to Jesus as a celebration of Christmas. You see, the world has Santa. It has Black Friday. It has Cyber Monday. It has the Griswolds. It has all of that stuff. And I don't believe it's our job to get caught up in a fight on a war on Christmas, but instead to live our own lives. If they want to see what a true Christian looks like, then when you're standing in line, if you've been in line for 2 hours, and some poor lady that's got 3 kids and they've driven you absolutely bonkers, let her go ahead of you and say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, whatever it may be, and show. We talk about Christmas. We talk about Christmas. The world, if they address it, they start with baby Jesus. The shepherds, and maybe they throw in a few wise men here and there and give some examples of gifts. But as a Christian, when we talk about Christmas, you see, we can't start, if we're true Christian, we can't start at the Christmas story in Matthew or in Luke. We got to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And we got to start with a God who created all of humanity. And that God, you see, the Christmas story actually started in the book of Genesis. Did you hear me there? It started in the book of Genesis with the sin of humanity. When humanity sinned, God immediately had a way to fix that. And he began working on that plan. You see, it's caring about our neighbors. It's reaching out in love. It means that, yes, we have to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I know we have folks here this year for Christmas. They got their family together and says, we're not going to buy gifts for the kids. We're going to buy gifts and send them to a foreign country, to an orphanage. And that's how we're going to celebrate our Christmas. You see, that's Christmas. I'm not saying it's wrong to get a gift. Sister Oliver gave me a gift this morning, and I hope it's a box of chocolate. It looks like it might be peanut clusters or cashew. What are those, cashews and caramel? By faith. I just heard somebody swearing out there. Somebody said diet. I'm just kidding, okay? I'm just joking. You see, there's no denying that in our world today, there's an increasingly hostile attitude toward Christians. But we knew that was coming. Jesus warned us that in Matthew 10:22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Instead of being appalled when non-Christians act like non-Christians, perhaps we should be more appalled when Christian people fail to act like Christian people. You see, we should feel convicted when we fail to walk in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So at Christmas time, yes, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, forgive the guilty, welcome the unwanted, care for the sick, love your enemies, and do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Because we have to understand that we live in a very dark, dark world. But we also have to understand that Jesus says that I am the light of the world. And the darker the night, the brighter our lights should shine. What does Jesus tell us in John 8:12? Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We read in Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You see, it was a very, very dark time when Jesus came to this earth. When the Messiah finally arrived, it wasn't in pleasantries, it wasn't celebration, it wasn't a time of jubilee in the land. The world had gone for 400 years. 400 years without one word from God. The prophets in the land, it was quiet. God wasn't speaking. There was no prophetic words, no new revelations. But you see, God was working this entire time, getting things ready for his entrance into the cesspool of humanity. And yes, it seems like the world is getting darker and darker, but God was making the timing just so perfect that when those angels declared and heralded that night and began to sing praises unto the new king, that a glimpse of light, a glimpse of hope. I love the story in Mark where the Pharisees began to question Jesus because he sat down and he ate with sinners. You see, Jesus' response was perfect. Paraphrasing Mark 2:17, he says, I don't need to come and deal with people who aren't sick. I'm not here to fix the well. The people don't feel like they have a problem. It's not those who are well who need a doctor. I'm here because there are sick people. I'm here to call, not to call on the righteous, but I'm here because I'm looking for those who need a savior. I'm looking for those who have become a casualty of society. I'm looking for those who need a savior and who are in need of repentance. You see, we are to be the light bearers in a dark world. Just like Israel, a part of Israel was eagerly awaiting, just a handful of people even knew that the Messiah was coming, we should equally be as eager for his second coming, and we should be as eager for his return. You see, Ephesians 5:16 tells us that we need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Yes, it's a beautiful spirit of Christmas in this place, a beautiful season of Christmas, but the world around us is going to hell. And they're going to hell because there's not enough Christians that are spreading the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, instead of bickering on earth, about things that aren't going to last. We should make the best of what we have. I love Isaiah 9:6. For a child will be born unto us, for a son will be given unto us, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. These names are powerful descriptions of who this Messiah was going to be. We live in a world that's hurting, a world that is broken. It's not a world that needs Christmas. As Christmas has been celebrated, it's a world that needs Jesus Christ. They need the Comforter. They need peace. You see, he is the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's everlasting. He desires that we, not just we as Christians, but he desires that all of humanity, he came here for all of humanity, not just for me, not just for you. He came here for everyone. He brings peace, and he desires to bring peace to a very restless world. The souls of this world are so restless. You can just feel it. Right now, I feel such a peaceful presence. I feel such a powerful, overwhelming presence of the Holy Ghost. But I do understand that when we leave this place and this Christmas season, the season of love, giving, and all of this leaves us and is behind us, and as a new year steps in, it's going to be full of new problems and things are going to continue. But Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Paul adds that if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I don't like conflict. Sometimes you have to deal with things that are of conflicting. I don't like conflict. I would rather dwell in peace with all humanity. Romans 14:19 says, follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. I don't like it when there's division in the church. I don't feel division here this morning. It can happen very quickly and very easily. People just disagree about things, but there's nothing here worth me losing my soul over in disagreement. I know what I believe doctrinally. I feel comfortable with that. I feel sound in doctrine. There's no issue that I'm going to allow that issue to take me to hell. I'm just not going to do that. But yet sometimes we can't help ourselves because of our humanity. We pursue those things that don't bring peace, but we pursue those things that divide. You see, the short answer is that our human nature, our sin, is the reason why many of us and many Christians aren't good at being peacemakers. It's easier to voice, listen, this is so easy to get caught up into. It's easier to voice our opinions and justify it as boldly proclaiming the gospel of Christ. Christmas is a time to celebrate the peace between Jesus Christ and humanity, between God and man. Emmanuel with us. For musicians can come this morning. Christmas is a time to celebrate the peace that Jesus brings. He will lead our lives so we can live at peace with those around us. And in the process, God can use us to speak to others who need to know about the Prince of Peace. So is there really this war going on right now about Christmas? I don't know. I don't really feel it. Maybe you get all worked up. Maybe you feel it. I don't feel that there's a war going on. It's been this way as long as I can remember. Life's always been a battle because sin. There's always going to be sin. But Jesus says, you know what? You're going to have suffering in this world. But he tells us to be courageous. He tells me that I don't have to be a casualty of Christmas. Because he says, you have suffering in this world, be courageous. I've overcome. I've conquered sin. I've conquered sickness. I've conquered death. I've conquered hell. I love how Paul puts it. Probably not a scripture we would expect to read at Christmas time, but Paul says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting against Christmas trees, and we're not fighting against holidays or holy days. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities. It's against rulers. It's against authority in dark places. It's against evil. It's against spiritual forces. But you see, for me, church, I don't feel called. Some people may ask, how come we don't get involved as a church in some of these causes? Because I don't feel called to fight for a plastic baby Jesus in a city park. I just don't feel a calling for that. I don't feel a calling to fight over whether we should call it a Christmas tree or a holiday tree. Because you see, but I do feel a calling to put on the armor of God and to be ready to fight against the forces of evil. If we could stand this morning, I'd rather let the Holy Spirit work in my life so that my life can produce good fruit. I'd rather teach our children than to help those that are sitting here this morning or standing here this morning that maybe don't know him quite like they should know him. I'd rather interact with people and see the best of Jesus. I would rather them see the best of Jesus in me at this time of year than just be another casualty at Christmas time. So as we close out this, I guess somewhat unusual probably, we'll cover the nativity scene on Christmas Eve. It's going to be read in English. It's going to be read in German. It's going to be read in French and in Spanish. In every language, it speaks of love, speaks of forgiveness, speaks of a Savior who is willing, speaks of a God who is willing to come to earth. Live among humanity so humanity wouldn't have to be a casualty of sin. So this morning, maybe you just need some time alone to just get the bad Christmas out. Get the frustrations of Christmas because you don't have enough money. Don't go in debt to buy presents. Just enjoy Christmas for what Christmas is. Why we celebrate Christmas. So I'm going to open up this altar area in front if you'd like to come pray this morning. Maybe your Christmas is just not turning out how you expected it to be. Don't become a casualty and hate Christmas because what sin has done to Christmas. Maybe you just want to come down and just spend some time in prayer with your family, with your husband and wife. Just going to open up this time of prayer. If I don't see you on Christmas Eve, Sister Lois and I and all the staff here at Calvary Gospel Church, God bless you this Christmas. God bless you.
Don't hesitate to ask someone to pray with you. Someone nearby, if you want to take their hand, lay your hand on their shoulder. God is faithful. We're two or more agree on any one thing. Welcome at all of our services. Don't forget to invite someone to the Christmas Eve service. We'll continue our Christmas for Christ offering this evening. There are cards in the vestibule from the pastor. Not received one yet. Christmas card with the staff picture. There's still time to pray. There's still time to come. Still time to join with someone in prayer. Join us this evening as we worship the Lord.